from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up in this morning's Forum program in our next hour, we welcome back actress, model, and performer Isabella Rossellini. We'll talk with her about her career and her conservation work, and we'll also talk with her about Green Porno, her series of short films on animal reproduction. Then at 10:30, we discuss the amazing home team Golden State Warriors, who beat a challenging New Orleans team 4 games in a row to take the best of 7 series and move on to the next round next week. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to another hour of this morning's Forum program. Isabella Rossellini was born into Hollywood royalty, the daughter of Casablanca star Ingrid Bergman and director Roberto Rossellini. She followed her own parents into the film business, starring in both Italian and American films, perhaps most notably David Lynch's Blue Velvet. The actress and former Lancôme spokesmodel joins us to talk about her career, her video series on the mating habits of animals, and her wildlife conservation work. And we welcome her back to Forum. Glad to see you.
Thank you for having me. Yes.
Delighted to have you. And I should also mention that she is, last time I think you were on, you said you were a high school dropout, and you've said that many times. Now you're working on a master's degree. Congratulations on that score in animal behavior and conservation. And also doing the show about, you're an artist inspired by biology. We're talking about very entertaining and educational work about the sex lives of animals.
Yes, I chose sex because everybody's interested in sex. If I would have done digestive systems, I don't think I would have done 40 short films, a monologue, and a book. But sex got the attention of a lot of people.
Although there was a group that called themselves asexuals.
There are some animals that reproduced asexually. You know, they are...
No, I'm talking about humans now, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that... You know,
but let's talk about the animals that reproduce asexually.
Yeah. Well, starfish could reproduce asexually if they want to. They can produce sexually or asexually. Asexually, they can just divide. They can drop one of their arms, and this arm eventually becomes a full animal, so it becomes a second animal. So a lot of animals do that.
Echinodermata. Somehow those phyla stay in my mind. Those are the starfish, and they can just regrow, right?
Yes.
And I should mention that the series is called Green Porno, which Isabella Rossellini stars in, directs. There's a video series of it, and explains the sex lives of everything from dolphins to bedbugs. She also stars in Mamas, which is a film series about the mothering role of animals, and we'll tell you how you can actually see her live in an appearance here in San Francisco. But let's talk about the genesis of this. It was 6 years in the making.
Well, it wasn't 6 years in the making. The first short films that I've done were made for the Sundance Channel, actually for their website, 6 years ago. And they became quite successful. There were 8 short little films that received many hits. So Sundance commissioned me more and more until 6 years later, we had produced 40 short films. We have published a book about the short films I've made. And then eventually I also written a monologue with the help of Jean-Claude Carrière, who is a wonderful writer, who this year was honored with an Academy Award for his contribution to film scripts.
Well, he did Discreet Charm of the Bourgeoisie,
exactly.
The Buñuel film,
he
and
did,
Unbearable Lightness of Being, yes. Which our own Phil Kaufman made.
Exactly.
So this has taken off in many directions.
Yes. I'm always interested in animals. I'm interested in animal behavior, conservation, unfortunately, because every time you look at a wild animal, we are in a period of mass extinction. Of course, extinction always exists, but mass extinctions are rare, and they are due to exceptional condition of our planet. And right now, we are experiencing another mass extinction with the disappearance of a lot of species due to the fact that we became 8 billion and we're polluting the planet. We are taking their habitats away. There's a climate change. So I've always been interested, not so much in conservation, because that's a bad news, but, you know, inevitably you have to face it, but animal behavior. And I went back to school to study and take a master's degree. That was the base of my inspiration for this new writing and directing that I'm doing.
Well, you stand up there like almost a professor, really, you know, but you're also in all these costumes. And we're talking about costumes of the animals themselves. And also give us some insight into the work you've done in film and so forth. I mean, it's a real entertaining kind of diverse show in itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
There's a lot of elements.
We went to 35 countries, so we did it, you know, in the documentary that I'm presenting at the San Francisco Film Festival is I was followed, you know, sometime I was followed by a crew, but most of the time it was just film that we took. They were put together to make this documentary about the genesis of this project that started very little and now has become quite big. And I've traveled in 35 countries performing it for 2 years. It's been quite big. I never expected it was going to become so big, but I'm delighted. And I think partially is that there is a real need to know about nature. There is a real, especially in the young generation, there is a great interest in conservation and a great worry about the environment. So my film addressed that, even if they are comical, but they are on that subject.
Talking with Isabella Rossellini. And by the way, the documentary about her work, Isabella Rossellini's Green Porno Live, directed by Jody Shapiro, plays later today at the Sundance Kabuki Theater at 2:30 p.m. And that's part, as she said, of the San Francisco International Film Festival. One of the things, I suppose, of great interest that you convey is how homosexuality is part of nature, of so many different animal species, yes?
Yes, there was a book that came out a few years ago called Sexual Exuberance, where a scientist collected information if homosexuality was of course, scientists have noticed homosexuality, but as they had reacted toward us human, they thought that it was sort of against nature, that it was some sort of illness. And these scientists looked into it, and they saw actually that many, many species, and at least 450 in his book, Sexual Exuberance, that 450 species, actually homosexuality exists. So now we have to look back and say, why, if we define the ultimate goal of life as reproduction, why homosexuality exists? And the problem probably is that we gave the sexual act a definition that it is too tight. We thought that we mate or we make love to reproduce. Instead, it has a wider social role. It might be, as it is for us, to create bonds, friendship, to get to know. And this is quite common also among animals. So maybe we have to relook at how we, how do we define things? Sometimes our culture, we define things that skew the way nature is. In nature, sort of anything goes. Everything is possible.
Well, 17 million people watched Diane Sawyer interviewing Bruce Jenner the other night, and you learned from your show that shrimps actually change their sexes.
Some animals change their sexes. So some fish are born male, they become female, or they are female and they become male. Yes, it does happen. It doesn't mean that because fish do it, humans have to do it. I mean, I'm not saying that a very big leap, but it does exist in nature.
There's all these fascinating things about nature, though. I mean, who would have ever imagined that anchovies have orgies?
Well, I called it orgies, but they're called spawning, and a lot of animals spawn in the ocean. The ocean protects the sperm and the egg. So animals sometimes do this big aggregation where they released sperm and eggs, and the sperm and eggs, carried by the current, they'll meet or they don't meet. So some of it become food and some of it instead meat, and the eggs then develops and becomes a larva that then eventually becomes an animal. So I call them orgy, but generally they refer as spawning, but there's this big fish aggregation where they reproduce together.
Talking again with Isabella Rossellini, and you've said on a number of occasions that acting was not your calling, even though you've done some wonderful film work. Big Night, I loved, for example. I mean, and the role in Blue Velvet, also probably a work that many people don't know, Left Luggage, where he actually played a Hasidic Jew. I know your father called himself a Jewish mother, but we won't necessarily. Is this your calling now? I mean, what we're talking about?
I think so. I mean, I I liked acting. It's not that I don't like acting. I don't like other things that come with acting, which is the fame. I find red carpet, being looked at, being paparazzi, all that unbearable. I find it very difficult. So I don't like that aspect of acting. And yet you have to be kind of a successful actress in order to be offered role. So it's a double-edged sword, you say in English?
That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
Yes, for me, it's a double-edged sword. Some other actresses tolerate paparazzi being public figures much better than I do. So that's why I always felt that writing and directing, it's more in my nature. And of course, this interest in animals, now that I'm not working as a model anymore and I act somewhat less because I'm in my 60s, so there's lesser role being offered, gave me the opportunity to go back to university and study what I always wanted to study, which was animal behavior, and then do these films on what I'm interested in.
Again, we're talking with Isabella Rossellini, and Isabella Rossellini's Green Porno Live is a film directed by Jody Shapiro. It plays later today at the Sundance Kabuki Theater at 2:30 as part of the San Francisco International Film Festival. And if you'd like to talk with Isabella Rossellini, this is an excellent opportunity for you to join us. Let me tell you how you can do that. Our toll-free number is available to you, and we welcome your calls. Number to call, 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And of course, you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. Actually, I remember an email that came in the last time you were on and say, it was about 15 years ago, boy, Krasny, this is really tough work. You have to interview Isabella Rossellini. I remember Petaluma email somehow stuck in my memory. A number of other things about that memory.
Can I add some one thing? Yeah. Of course, we are premiering this documentary, but the documentary is done by Ovation TV and in Japan by WowWow TV. And is also going to be available after being shown at Ovation, which would start in about 2 weeks. It's going to be available in Netflix and Sundance. It's not just there is one day the opportunity this afternoon at 2:30. You can see
well,
it.
For
it's
locals.
Premiering at the festival.
Well, a lot of the sets were on the internet. I mean, you worked with Robert Redford originally, didn't you? And
yes, Robert Redford is the art director of the Sundance Channel. He's sort of his inspiration that gives there. And he wants to, as it is for the Kabuki Sundance, he really always felt that independent films, not only the studio film, were important for the health of this art form. And so part of my films are part of the Sundance Channel program, which is to have money given to first-time director or experimental filmmaker, like I was 6 years ago. Now I guess I'm in fact, they don't finance me anymore because now I'm established as an environmental artist or whatever you want to call me.
And an expert on animal biology to some degree. Mm-hmm. But I learned more about the male organ than I ever imagined possible, including the size of barnacles as a compared or contrasted to gorillas. I mean, who would have imagined these?
Well, the barnacle doesn't, proportionally. The longest penis belongs to the barnacle because those are animals that can't move much. They only have one foot, and so they used to attach themselves to rocks. And so the evolution allowed them to develop a very, very long penis so they can make love to a female that is attached to another rock. The gorilla instead, we have this misconception that if you are a powerful man, you're also very well endowed. But if you take the gorilla, he's strong enough to fight the other male, so he doesn't really need to have the same long penis as a barnacle, because he fights the other male and he controls his female. He controls the access to the female by fighting. So what determines the shape of the penis is often your social life.
Doesn't this kind of study make you realize how not only extraordinary, but how nature works in ways that are almost, mystical? I mean, they seem to fit the patterns of so many animals in terms of just their reproduction or the way they conceive.
But mystical, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you mean by mystical. This is biology, so it's a fact.
It's biology, but it seems to follow so much symmetry and order. That's what I'm talking about, as opposed to...
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult to find order. I think we looked at order, but we often made a mistake. You know, we looked at order using our philosophy or our religion, but in fact, nature is quite difficult to define.
It's chaotic, I grant you, but at the same time, what you were just describing about barnacles, for example, well endowed for a purpose. I mean, it serves nature, it serves conception.
Yeah, well, this is what happens with evolution, you know. Evolution helps animal adapt to new situation. And in fact, right now, where we have mass extinction is because the environment is changing so fast that it doesn't give enough time for the species to adapt to these changes. The water changes salinity or changes temperature. We don't have enough time. They don't have enough time to adapt. And that's why they go extinct. That's why there is a period of mass extinction. But if the situation are pretty normal or pretty less catastrophic, then an animal changes and adapts to new pressure. And that is called in science speciation. And an animal would change until we call it another species. But actually, there is a long history of the evolution.
Lancome sort of treated you like another species when you turned 40. I want to talk about this with you because it's something that you've talked about and talked about freely. Suddenly you turn 40, you're their what they call spokesmodel, and suddenly you're getting a lot of flowers and getting essentially kissed off in terms of being or fulfilling that role. And I was just reading an article about some work that Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Amy Schumer and Tina Fey did. You might be familiar with this. It was a comedy routine, essentially, but they said, I can't say this word on air, but they talked about women in terms of casting for roles no longer being blankable. And essentially the argument was that there's some funny stuff about this. Like, you
I
know,
bet. They are funny ladies.
Well, they said you get a calling cast to play Santa Claus's wife or Larry King's wife or something like that. You know, some funny stuff. But at the same time, they're talking about something really very serious here, and that is they said you can be 100 years old and be cast as a man. You can have spiders, you know, crawling all over you, but you still appear to be at least sexually somewhat available or sexually relevant, pertinent. And this is something that you've at least opined about, and I'd like to hear what you have to say now, because I think your views have changed somewhat. If someone has celebrity status.
I think you're talking about two things. One is the sex appeal, which I'm tired of it, you know, that women to exist, they have to be sexy, I think is one subject, and I don't do anything to look sexy, and I think there is an emphasis on being sexy and a sexual object that seems to be that is part of an old-fashioned point of view on women. And the other problem is what we called ageism, that women after a certain age are not seen so much. This is mostly an accusation that the fashion industry would get or the cosmetic industry gets. You know, you open a fashion magazine, there is seldom a woman who's older than 35 or 40. So to me, these are two subjects. So, but the story with Lancôme is that I have been their spokesperson and model for many years, and 15 years, and did very, very successful campaign with them. And in spite of being very, very successful, when I turned 40, actually 42, they felt compelled to substitute me. In fact, in spite of the fact that it was very successful, because they just believed that there was that the audience would not respond, they would feel alienated against an older woman. So that's what happened. I think they probably were wrong. I think things are slightly getting better. I see women in advertisement that are becoming older, but still there's a long way to go, I think.
You can go a little longer, I think you've said, if you have celebrity status, if you have a lot of fame as an actress, let's say, yeah?
Well, of course, success, that's a problem with acting for me. If you are successful, the more work comes your way. And yes, but, you know, a lot of successful actresses are not working. What happened to Michelle Pfeiffer, Sissy Spacek? We don't see them. I adore them and I miss them, and yet they don't work.
We've got a listener named Joni who writes, I just absolutely love your body at work. I don't know if she means body at work or body of work, but she says, but my all-time favorite is White Nights. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being who you were in that film. Was it amazing working with those two dancers or what?
Yeah, it was amazing to work with Gregory Hines and Misha Baryshnikov, also in two disciplines of dancing that are so different. Gregory Hines in tap dancing and, of course, Baryshnikov in classical dancing. Misha, unfortunately, Gregory died very young. Misha, instead, is still with us and very active in dancing. And for me, is a great inspiration. Misha has been maybe...
He's performing out here in Berkeley.
He's performing. Yeah, he's still performing in his 70s. He hasn't given up. And when you, you know, to me, the idea that you evolved your career and you can't be a classical dancer in your 70, but still is dance, body expression that interests him, and he has continued, was a great inspiration to me to continue my work. And whether I'm not a model anymore because, you know, there is not a commercial outlet for me or acting becomes less, I still want to be a storyteller. That's fundamentally what I am. And now I'm telling the story that are interesting to me. But Misha had a lot to do with inspiring me to go on and find the core of what was interesting. And for him is dance, body language. For me is narrative, telling stories.
Yeah, but you do a lot with your body in Green Porn, though, too.
Not so much. I mean, besides changing costumes, because I transform myself in these animals. Yeah, yeah.
Let me bring in a caller here from Santa Rosa. Sue, hi, you're on.
Hi. I'm wondering, Isabella, if you've done some study on the hormonal disruption of petrochemicals on species in nature. There's a massive feminization of the male species and all species because of this petrochemical entering our air, our water, our soil. And it does have effects on these, well, frogs and alligators. There's been a lot of studies on...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, we've actually done programs on it, in fact. Yeah.
Heard about it, too. I mean, I read articles and heard probably your interviews. But what I study is animal behavior. I'm not a chemist who, you know, I haven't read. I'm not studying specifically the effect of chemicals on animals. I'm really studying more animal behavior, more, you know, like the Jane Goodall study on chimpanzee that are so well known, is that kind of studies that I'm doing.
Isabella Rossellini, so good to have you back with us. Thank you so much.
Thank
and congratulations you. For Green Porno, which again, directed by Jody Shapiro, can be seen here in San Francisco at the Sundance Kabuki Theater at 2:30, and you want to talk about other places where you can see it, remind listeners?
Yes, it's produced by Sundance, and it will be on Ovation TV and Wow Wow in Japan, if you're Japanese, and it will also be later on in Netflix and the Sundance Web.
And so good again to have you back on Forum. Thank you.
Thank you.
We are going to go to a brief break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the Warriors. A lot of excitement about that basketball team and its movement through the NBA. We're going to be joined, in fact, in the segment ahead by a well-known figure in the world of basketball analysis, and stay tuned for that. I'm Michael Krasny.